So your ovulation is actually the main event of your cycle.
I love this main event. Your ovulation is the main event.
Today's guest is Sarah Cooper. A lot of you may know her Instagram, Scoop It Up. A little bit about this powerhouse. Sarah is a clinical nutritionist as well as a Pilates instructor who is well studied in how to move and nourish at different stages of our cycle. I feel like no one ever taught me any of this, so I feel like we're all going to learn so much from this episode. I hope you enjoy. Welcome back to Selfdom Beautiful Humans, a safe place to learn and get inspired to live your healthiest and most fulfilling life. Today's episode, I feel like it's going to be a real deep one because just a little backstory. I've been on the pill for 13 years since I was 15, and more I'm seeing that there are many side effects that I don't want to experience anymore. I want to be more in tune with my body. And on today's episode, we have Sarah Cooper, and we are going to be talking about cycle syncing. So if you don't know what this means, we'll dive into it. But yeah, just this feels really aligned with where I am in my life right now. And I know that we're all going to learn a lot from Sarah today. Me and Sarah actually did an event a few weeks ago to raise money for Lifeline, and it just feels right to have her on the pod today. So without further ado, welcome.
Thanks. I'm so excited.
I let her know that we were talking about cycle syncing and she brought little notes with her.
I'm such a nerd.
No, I love that. She's the first guest to like be super, super prepared like this, and I just know, yeah, it's going to be a deep dive. So I thought we could start by learning a little bit about you. How did you get into nutrition, health and fitness?
So I think I feel like a lot of people have this like breakthrough story where they're like, I was like this massive party, I binge drinker, and then I like stopped, but I never had that. I just kind of like grew up, I guess like growing up in Sydney, like everyone's pretty active, and I had like a pretty like healthy, like active family. And I think it kind of started mostly, I think I was like 14. Did you ever do the online Pilates blogilates on YouTube?
Yes.
Okay. So that was like, I used to do that like in my living room, like after school. And then I think she used to post like cooking videos, and I kind of started getting interested in the cooking. But I think I was always really interested in kind of like food as medicine and what those ingredients could actually do to the body. So yeah, that was kind of when I first started Pilates, and then I just loved cooking. Like I'd cook for all my friends. I remember like making bliss balls for schoolies and like
Byron. Oh and, like, my God. We were like, very different teenagers.
Like me on the bus, like with all the snacks. And yeah, I just like, it was just something fun. It was kind of like became a hobby for me, just like baking and always kind of like making healthy smoothies, bring them into like English. Like I remember we had like extension class before school. I'd like bring in my little smoothie balls.
Oh my
God. And like
gosh.
Be like that person. Like my first job when I was 15 was at like, do you remember About Life?
Yes.
So I was really living and breathing it.
That's amazing.
But yeah. And then I actually did my first degree was media and comms. I really wanted to do nutrition, but I actually did no science in 11 and 12. So I was a bit nervous because there's a lot of chemistry in like your first year. And then I kind of realized I really didn't like that. So, but I'm very much like need to finish what you start. So finished that degree. And then between that degree in nutrition, I started my Pilates cert. I was like going to Pilates heaps at Lean Bean, and I just got so like just loved it. And so did my certification, started teaching, and then started my nutrition degree to become a clinical nutritionist.
Wow, you've done a lot.
And then yeah, cause I, so I've been teaching for like 5 years and then finished uni like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, amazing.
So yeah, it was just kind of just something like I always enjoy is like part of my lifestyle.
So you had no naughty phase?
No.
Oh.
Oh, and I sold all my balls. I went through my Scoop It Up Bliss Balls.
Yeah.
Era too.
Yeah, I mean, I
my catering.
Am obsessed with everything that you bake. I feel like you are the cookie queen for real.
Oh, I'll take it.
And I love it because I'm gluten-free and dairy-free, yeah. And I feel like your recipes are always super aligned with what I can eat. I don't miss out.
Yeah.
Which is really
nice. You shouldn't
nice.
Have to.
So on today's episode, I wanted to, as I mentioned in the intro, really talk about cycle syncing.
Yeah.
I'm going through a transition phase where I want to get off the pill.
Yeah.
I've been on it for a really long time. I went on it when I was 15 because that's kind of what everyone was doing. My mom said, go on the pill. I went on it. And
is
now,
because you had like, was that contraception?
Or for contraception. Like no, nothing.
Skin. Okay.
Well, do I do a honest moment here?
Yes.
I don't know if I want to say it on the pod.
You can always edit it out.
So, oh my God, no.
No, you have to. Do it.
Me and my boyfriend at the time were getting a bit frisky in the car. And we pretended to my mom that we went to Blockbuster.
Blockbuster.
Yeah, this is how long ago it was.
I miss Blockbuster.
And I called my mom after the frisky business was done and said, Blockbuster was closed, we're coming home. So we didn't have a DVD with us. The phone was left on. And then mom heard what she heard.
Oh, no.
And oh, no. I look at my phone and it says, mum, like still on the call. I was like, hang up.
No.
Call my mum.
No.
She goes,
oh, you're
get
brave.
Home right now. I was like, oh, my God. My boyfriend's like, oh, my God. I get home. I run upstairs. And this is like, you know, I'm 16 years old. Oh, well, 15, 16, whatever. And I'm like, we don't need it. And I get a message from my mum, you're going on the pill.
So
we went to the doctor the next day. I was on the pill.
Yeah,
so
right.
Okay.
So your mum was like scared.
Yeah. So it was contraception reasons. So I haven't known myself without being on the pill since I was so young.
Mm.
And yeah, I'm really nervous. And the more I've researched about cycle syncing, I'm just gobsmacked that we aren't taught this at school.
I know. I couldn't agree more.
I haven't been in tune with my body and all the different phases. So we'll dive into it a bit more throughout the pod, but I thought we could start off by defining what is cycle syncing.
So obviously we have our menstrual cycle, which varies for everyone, averages like 25 to 35 days. So everyone's cycle length is a little bit different. Obviously the main role is that it prepares our body for pregnancy. So it's funny because like a lot of people think your period is the like main moment, but it's actually your ovulation. That's your release of an egg, because you can actually get a period without ovulating. So your ovulation is actually the main event of your cycle.
I love this main event. Your ovulation is the main event.
And I always like, I really like it when people refer to it as your fifth vital sign as a woman, because it really shows that your body is in sync, your nervous system is working, your hormones are working, because it should be like a fifth vital sign, because anyone that has irregular periods, missing periods, bad PMS, they're all indicators that something's out of whack in your body. So when you can naturally track your cycle, it's actually a really great reflection on so many things going on in your body, whether that's stress, inflammation, under-eating, over-exercising, all those things.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty crazy that I haven't had any of those signs since so young.
You wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know. Yeah. And I think that's why I'm petrified, because I've been living in a kind of masked environment
like
in some degree. I never have PMS. I never have mood swings. I never have pain, which is all great, but it also means that I'm, as you said, like, doesn't mean anything's working underneath this Band-Aid.
And that's why I asked why you went on it, because it's given as a Band-Aid for like 15-year-olds when they come in with acne or really bad period pain. Like sometimes it can really mask people's endo, PCOS, migraines. And then people come off the pill 10, 15 years later, oh, I want to have a baby in 2 months. They don't get their period for a year. Oh, I've got all these problems with my body that I've been masking for like all this time and I've never known.
Yeah, and that's why I think this episode is so important, because a lot of people are in my situation where they've been on contraception either for these reasons, or they were just put on it by their mom, or, you know, it was just super accepted back then. You didn't even question it.
Also, the GP handed it out like...
Absolutely. Well, they're making money.
Yeah.
Of course they're going to hand
the
it out.
And that's the scary part. They're like, you know, I've had so many of my friends that would be prescribed the pill, and I think GPs have a duty of care to tell you what the pill is doing to your body. Like,
yeah,
the doctor doesn't tell you that. They just say, take this.
I remember the only thing that was warned was blood clotting. That was the only thing. And then I remember there was an issue with the Yaz pill. Mm. Then I swapped to one called Levlen because we were nervous for blood clots.
Yeah.
But there was nothing about how much it's impacting your body. No. And hasn't there been studies to show it can increase your risks of cancers and things?
Oh, so many things. Wow. Yeah. Like links to like irritable bowel diseases, different cancers. Like,
well, it's a fact that I take a pill every day. Tom and I were playing the Esther Perel cards. Do you know?
Oh, yeah.
So we were playing them last night. If you don't know what they are, there are cards that get you to ask deep and meaningful questions, I guess, to someone. So it could be your partner, your friend, your family, whoever you choose to do it. And one of those things was, one of the questions last night was, what is something you don't, you practice but don't preach, sort of thing? Yeah. And it was really good timing because we were filming this pod today and it was that I'm on the pill, but I'm, you know, I don't really drink alcohol. I want to eat organic. I am so aware of everything else with my body, but then I'm taking the birth control pill and I was like, I really need to get off it. And yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's that, so that question popped up.
And I think it's having the knowledge to choose. Like I always say to clients when we're talking about like food, and it's like having the knowledge to make an informed decision, because like you pick and choose your battles, right? Like you can't be perfect. You can't do everything perfectly. That's not realistic and it's not normal. But at least knowing that by taking the pill, like A, B and C is happening. You know what I mean? It's like going to, I know on your podcast the other day you were talking about like going to the health food aisle and thinking that everything's healthy. Yeah. It's like being able to read an ingredient list and know what's good and what's bad. And then if you still want the chocolate because you feel like it, yeah, absolutely eat it. But like you're making the decision in an informed way.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same with contraception, because like most contraception is going to give some form of synthetic hormone. And so like if you do want to go on contraception, it's kind of inevitable, but it's better to know what you're putting into your body than just taking it because you're told to by the doctor.
Yeah. I really want to see a shift in the medical industry where they do tell you what the pros and cons are, and then you can make your decision, because I truly believe that if I was given that list when I was 15, I wouldn't have taken it, but I didn't know anything else.
No.
It was almost cool to be on it when you were at school, you know, when you're young and everyone's, you know, you're starting to like, you know, have sex and things. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm on the pill. You first of all, you feel protected, which is such a pro.
Yeah.
And
that's
an important one to recognize.
Yeah.
But we'll dive into it deeper. It's not that easy to fall pregnant as well. I feel like at school they're like, you have sex once, you're pregnant.
Abstinence.
I was so petrified. So I wanted to chat about the four different stages of the cycle.
Yeah.
So we could start with menstrual.
Yeah.
How, first of all, what is it? And how should we be nourishing ourselves? How should we be moving?
So in your menstrual phase, this is when you're bleeding. So basically your body prepares to get pregnant, release an egg if it's not fertilized. Like basically it starts to build the lining of your uterus for implantation. If your egg's not fertilized, then that lining sheds and that's your period essentially. So again, kind of like the length of your cycle, the length of your bleed can be anywhere between average like 2 to 7 days. And everyone experiences this pretty differently. Like some people can get really heavy periods with blood clotting. Some people have a really light period. So it just really depends. The main thing during your period, which I'm sure people will notice listening to this, is like you're probably at your lowest energy point. So all of your hormones are at their lowest point during this time. And I like to think of the phases as kind of seasons. So this is kind of like winter.
I love that. That's a really good image.
Yeah, because sometimes it's really hard to kind of make sense of the different stages, and I totally get that. And then it kind of makes a bit more sense because you're feeling, you know, you want to kind of like wrap yourself in a blanket, watch a movie, eat chocolate, do something like a bit calming, have warmer foods, you know, things like that. So, yeah, during this phase you kind of, if we're looking at how to like eat and nourish yourself, you want to really think about all those like blood supporting, tissue supporting nutrients, thinking like warm, slow cooked foods or anti-inflammatory foods, especially if you get any sort of like pain or bloating. So, you know, just cooking with beautiful spices like ginger, you know, your bone broths, peppermint tea, raspberry leaf tea, ginger, all the good things. And then obviously women are really susceptible to losing iron and having low iron. So all your iron boosting foods. So obviously if you're eat animals, then red meat's going to be a really good way to get it in. But otherwise, plant-based, you can do your like dark leafy greens, lentils, your tofu, whole grains, all of those things. And just being kind to yourself in terms of exercise. I think I noticed this especially like if I'm running, like just before during my period, like you feel really sluggish. And I think it's really powerful to know about your cycle, because I think we can be so hard on ourselves, you know, like you might go to a class one day and be like, oh, why was I so shit? Like I felt so weak, or like my balance was really off. Or, and once you really connect to the why, it's easier to kind of not forgive yourself, but kind of be like, you know what? Like I know that my hormones are down. I know that when my hormones are up, that's my like building like energetic hormones. So like I'm going to work with my body, not against it. And I think once you understand the ebb and flow, you can say, all right, I know my body's at this point in terms of my hormones. So this week I'm going to swap my run for a walk, or instead of going to like a HIIT class, I'm going to go to like a gentle yoga or Pilates, or like maybe I'll snooze my alarm and have an extra hour of sleep. So yeah, this is kind of like your winter. You want to slow it down, be kinder to yourself.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like there needs to be a gym that has classes for like your menstrual phase, your follicular stage, and then you just know that that's good for you.
Yeah.
And how cute would it be if there was a little cafe out the front of this made up gym that had a menstrual cycle menu, a follicular menu, and you just knew.
Yeah.
Because there's so much new information, and I'm someone who is – I'm always researching, I'm always learning, and this is all news to me.
And it's so hard to know what's true, like right or wrong on the internet, right?
Exactly.
Like there's so much information.
And I also feel because I've been on the pill, I don't really get any side effects, so I can kind of train hard all month.
You don't get the ebb and flow because you're almost like flatlining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also miss that feeling. Like today is quite a cozy day and I'm like, it would be kind of nice to have that excuse to just, you know, relax on the couch.
You're like, I'm buzzing with way too much energy.
Yeah, I'm always buzzing.
Yeah.
All right. So now let's talk about the follicular stage.
So follicular and your ovulation, I kind of like spring, summer, but this is kind of like all summer to me. So you kind of notice as you finish your period, you like all your kind of water retention settles. You get that kind of lift in energy, you feel lighter, you feel happier, maybe like you're more creative, or maybe you're kind of like, you just get this shift in your mindset. And I was talking to Eddie the other day, she was like, I hate myself today, but in 2 weeks' time when I'm ovulating, I think I'm the hottest thing on the earth. Like it's like your energy, your mind shift changes. So like it's actually a really good time to kind of like set new goals, or if you've got like really big tasks to do, it's like a really good time to do that. So basically this is when your estrogen starts to rise and it's like starting to grow that endometrium lining in preparation. And this is kind of looking at how you can start to like set more goals or push yourself a little bit. Like whether that's, you know, going a bit harder in the gym, maybe go for a run, doing a little bit more endurance based activity. And then looking at how you can kind of eat in that like summer. So like a little bit lighter, looking at like now like fresher salads, maybe less like cooked vegetables, more raw. And yeah, just like leaning into your energy. Also like best time to socialize.
Really?
because like it's almost like you've like come out of your shell.
And oh my God.
Because you've got like more energy, right?
Yeah.
You know, like I don't know, like obviously you haven't had like
that
your
feeling,
feeling for a while, but like, you know, when you have your period and you're just like, oh
yeah,
you're like, no one talked to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you've got better recovery, better pain tolerance. So it is like, I always say, like I've done a few cycle thinking workshops at the studios I teach at. And I always say like, this is a good time to push, or like, you know, if you've got a goal, if you're, you know, timing yourself in a certain activity or like want to do max reps of this, like good time to do that. And then obviously when you're looking at your diet, not only like those kind of lighter foods, but also then supporting that raise in exercise. So maybe like more complex carbohydrates, more whole grains, maybe more protein, healthy fats, just being really mindful of all your macros in your meals. And also I should note that this is actually the kind of safest or best time if you do want to kind of dabble in intermittent fasting, which I don't usually recommend for women, but because your insulin sensitivity is at its best and your energy is up, it's not going to affect your cortisol and your nervous system and your hormones as badly. So yeah, usually like all the fasting studies are done on kind of men and menopausal women because they don't have that like infradian fluctuation. They just kind of work off that circadian rhythm, so their metabolism is consistent. But yeah, so it's not great to fast. I don't usually recommend it to women, but this kind of time is your best time if you want to kind of dabble in it. And that's, yeah.
And everyone is so bio-individual because I do have 100%. A few friends who really thrive 100%. When they do the intermittent fasting. Yeah. I think it's just so good to have that information there to be aware of where you are. Just as you said, when you read a label of something, it's the same as this.
Yeah, it's just having the awareness and like everyone's nervous system is so different. Some people can have 3 coffees and not feel it. Like if I have
I am not that person.
If I have a second coffee, I'm shaking. Like if I had coffee like in the afternoon, I probably won't sleep. And so, yeah, it's just having that awareness of how your hormones respond. And
you went off coffee, I saw, actually, for 10 days.
I did 10 days. It was a rough 10 days.
So it didn't shift you? You're still back on it now?
It definitely made me more aware of, like, I definitely felt calmer.
And like, your sleep would have been probably really good. My sleep was good.
Yeah, my whoop chopping, my sleep was really good. Yeah. But, yeah, I think I just went back in with a renewed – I think I was leaning on it too much to get through the day.
Yeah.
So now I'm very much like, all right, we're going back to one. Like I was sometimes having two. And it just made – it was funny. I was kind of like, wow, I feel a little bit more like grounded.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's good to have those moments.
Yeah, it's just a good little like reset to just bring you back into your body.
That's one thing I always recommend to people is to try go caffeine-free just for a week.
Yeah.
Or even like a few days every month just to like become body aware.
Mm.
I'm a matcha drinker. I'm obsessed with it. So I have cut it down to one. I was having two a day.
Yeah.
But I've cut it to one and my sleep is so much better. Because of
the L-theanine, it's not as aggressive as coffee.
Oh, I feel I never spike unless I'm already stressed and then I have it and I'm literally like going to vomit because I get so nervous.
Well, that's – I mean, we'll talk about it when we get into the last phase. But similar then like when our progesterone rises because that kind of affects our mood. Often if you have like caffeine around that time, you can feel way more anxious than having it at another time. And I definitely noticed that in my cycle.
I'm so intrigued to see how my body responds. I will be keeping everyone in the self-dome community updated because I feel like a lot of listeners out there, I actually feel shy to tell people I'm on the pill now because it's become only because I know that so many people have had this journey going off it and it's quite known now that it's not great for you.
Yeah.
I'm also 28 and I think it's time I start seeing my like being kinder to myself.
Yeah.
Enough about me, I'm sorry. But
no, I'm so excited. Also when you come off and like I definitely recommend downloading like I use the Flow app and it's so good to track your cycle and like
and in the Flow that book.
In the Flow by Alyssa Vinnie. Yeah, so good. And like one of my friends, same thing. Like she came off the pill maybe a year ago. I was like on her case for so long. She was like, fuck off. Like, I don't want
to hear it. No, be on my case, and please.
And then like now I've got her hooked on the Flow app and she's obsessed. Like I'll be sitting with her. She'll open up the app. She'll be like, are you ovulating? Are we in sync? Like she'll be like, oh, today Flow asked me if I had a headache. And I actually did. And she's like getting so in tune with her body. And it's like so fun for me to see.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll be messaging you. Being like freaking out or excited.
No.
Okay, so the next phase is the ovulation phase. Yeah. And you said this is summer.
Yeah, so like technically kind of like follicular and ovulation, like technically you kind of ovulate over like 36 hours. So your ovulation is you releasing an egg.
Can you only fall pregnant in the ovulation phase? So
it's, pretty – well, I don't want to say only, but it's like you're, pretty
cover our bases here.
Pretty much. But it's kind of like the 5 days before you ovulate and then a few days after.
Okay.
So that's your kind of like high risk or if you want to get pregnant, most fertile time. So, this is your most fertile time. Yeah, your libido's up, your energy's at its highest. your estrogen and testosterone are highest as well. So feeling really confident, loving yourself, and then so that pike in estrogen is going to stimulate your luteinizing hormone to release an egg.
So is your libido higher at this stage?
Yeah. Which kind of makes sense if you think about it evolution-wise. That's when you're going to...
Because that's pregnant. One thing I find that I'm just so like straight line was the word you used. Yeah. I just feel like with everything, it's there's no changes ever.
Yeah.
Which is, weirdly enough, I feel very productive, but it's almost put me in my masculine.
100%.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, it's such a good way to put it.
I feel like I'm in my masculine. Mm. I feel like I'm quite rigid and I want to feel more. Even like doing that breath work with Eddie the other day, like I showed my girlfriend because she was away at the time and she couldn't believe that I was like shaking because I'm really out of character like for me.
Emotional.
But maybe I am like that and then the pills made me not like that.
Maybe you are.
Maybe like who knows?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is summer. How should we be eating?
Yeah, so because your estrogen's at its highest, a lot of people get kind of PMSC symptoms when their estrogen's too high and there's recirculating estrogen in the body, and that can be because it's not excreted properly. So you kind of want to look at how to support your gut and your liver detoxification. So all of your like cruciferous vegetables like cauliflower, kale, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, they contain...
So cooked is fine?
Yeah, and they contain indole-3-carbinol, which helps to detox any excess estrogen. And then all your kind of bitter foods for liver, so like, you know, all your lemon, like rocket, bitter dandelion greens, dandelion tea, all those things. And then what else have I got? Yeah, and then fiber. So just make sure you're like supporting your bowel elimination with all like your whole grains, your nuts, your fruit and veg, and obviously lots of water, staying hydrated. Yeah. And then because your estrogen is like your building block, kind of building hormone, it's really good or your best time to gain strength and build muscle. So if you want to go for a little bit more resistance or weight training, that's kind of like your perfect time to do it.
Okay. Yeah. And then the last phase is the luteal. Yeah. Do I say that right?
Yeah, luteal.
Or luteal. Like,
So this actually for me is when I find my energy drops the most. Some people I feel like hits them as they bleed, but for me, I know, and like some people find that this week they really feel the drop in energy because you've kind of got into that peak, all your hormones are up, and then your estrogen starts to drop, your progesterone comes up because it's thickening your endometrium. And this is when you kind of feel your appetite usually increase. So like all your kind of PMS cravings, or like I'll know when my period's coming because I'm like, I could eat a horse and not be full. Like I'm like, I could just keep on eating. So this is a really good time to make sure you're kind of prepped with really nice like whole food snacks or like any of my recipes.
Yeah.
Like all the good cookies. Like, and I'm not saying like you can't eat shit food either, but it's like just knowing that you probably will be wanting to reach for more. So kind of being prepped. So like having all your beautiful satiating like healthy fat, so like your avocado, nuts and seeds, fatty fish like salmon, olive oil, all those beautiful
sounds
foods.
Delicious.
Yeah. And then you might start to notice as well like a change in temperature, because as our temperature rises, we start to get a bit more susceptible to heat. And our basal metabolic rate actually is higher. So that's why we're hungry. And I think, you know, a lot of women are also like, if they're feeling more hungry, they're like, oh, like I'm not gonna eat more, like I'm not gonna eat more than I usually do. Yeah. It's like, no, like your body's actually burning more than usual.
You're burning more calories.
Yeah, so like actually, again, like when I'm talking about working with your body needs more energy.
That's amazing.
Like, it's actually
to know
burning more energy. And I think once you explain that to people, it's almost like people then give themselves the permission to do it. And I know that kind of stems a bit from diet culture and it's not great, but I'm not going to pretend that no one's thinking it, because everyone is. So I think that once you actually understand that my body is actually burning more energy, my body temperature's up, if I'm feeling like I need more energy, like I'm going to have it. So making sure you're getting all your healthy fats, healthy protein, complex carbs. And then as I said to you before, you might want to decrease your caffeine, because when your progesterone goes up, it can impact your moods. You can feel a bit anxious, a little bit shaky. So just being mindful of that. And also sodium and salt that you're consuming. So if you're someone who really notices water retention and that kind of puffiness before your period, just being like, you know, excess salt, if you're having a lot of takeaway, try and go for something fresh that's not loaded with like sauces and stuff. And then, yeah, kind of leaning into your body based on how your energy is with exercise. So starting to kind of bring it back a notch. Again, as I said, some people feel the energy change here a little bit more than their actual period. So listening to your body, obviously everyone's different, but starting to bring it back to a little bit like less endurance. Again, being a bit kinder to your body as you kind of approach that phase.
Well, I feel like this leads the next question really well. Obviously, we've just learnt all the different parts of the cycle and how we should be moving differently. But as someone who has been on the pill for a very long time, what advice would you give to me in order to change my mindset so that, I don't know, I'm just kinder to myself?
Yeah. So change your mindset in terms of like staying on it?
Well, just no change.
I'm convincing you to come off.
No, my mindset in terms of being allowing myself to take it slower.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that it's the whole, I like to think of it as like, how can I work with my body rather than against it? And I think it's coming to the understanding that if you, let's say, wake up really, really tired and you were training for a half marathon, you were meant to run a 15K run that morning. If you think about it, like if you're going to push against your body, right? Your body's like, I'm so tired. I don't want to get up. If you're like push, 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 you're actually like going to deplete your immune system. You're actually not going to run well. You're going to feel worse afterwards, which is rare. Like usually you like, it's like you never regret a swim. You never regret a workout. But if you're working out against how your body wants to move, it's counterintuitive. So if you're actually moving with the intention of looking after your body versus if you're working out for an aesthetic goal, I think that's where it comes back to. So it kind of comes back to the why. So like, why am I doing this? And if you're doing it for the right reasons, you'll want to work with your body, you'll want to listen to it. So it's like, how can I like respect my body? And, you know, if I give it love, it'll love me back.
Yeah.
If you push, push, push all the time, you're going to get run down. Your cortisol is going to go up. You know what I mean? It's going to like impact your hormones, your sleep, recovery.
Well, so, I actually feel really grateful that I'm in the space that I am now and the way I view health now.
Yeah.
Because if I had to get off the pill like 4 or 5 years ago when I was a lot more stricter and restrictive, I feel like I would have gone against my body.
For sure.
So I feel like the timing is almost meant to be where I'm in a phase of my life where I have already set boundaries. I already have a toolkit and I am a lot gentle and kinder to myself. So it kind of gives me, I feel positive about it all rather than doing it because I'm being forced to.
And it's not.
It's a choice.
Scary or like something that you're fearing.
Yeah. And it's also to feel aligned with all women who do have to go through all these four cycles. Like it's part of the womanhood.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's kind of like, it brings a whole new sense of intuition to your body.
Absolutely.
Because you start to be like, oh, yeah, I can like notice like this change in energy or like my boobs are sore or I slept weirdly or like I felt so good in that workout or you know what I mean? Just like little things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask you because I've seen that it can change your pheromones going off the pill. Yeah. I think this is...
You sent me that and I was like, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, this is like my biggest fear because I love my boyfriend. I love my life. Like everything I'm really grateful for and happy for. I'm like, what are you like? Is this true?
There is science behind it, but I don't know we'll have to research the actual numbers that it's broken up relationships versus.
Of course, that's like the Daily Mail headline. Like, yeah, of course.
We're gonna look at scientific journals. There is science behind it. How your pheromones change, it can change your like attraction, I have a feeling that you'll be okay. I've seen a lot of people come off the pill and it hasn't ruined relationships.
And I also think as well, because I've been looking into this, my TikTok algorithm is just throwing me people's skin going bad. Like,
and you know what? That's also not a bad thing, right? Like if someone's come off and their skin's, it's been masking a problem with their liver, their gut, their hormones, which are kind of three main causes of acne. Well, great. Now you're going to get to the root cause of it and you're actually going to like get it properly better.
And I also feel lucky because I'm in a phase in my life where I have a really good routine. I go to bed at 8 p.m. I wake up early. I don't really drink alcohol. I don't have sugar. I don't have gluten. I don't have dairy. I mean, like, in terms of my gut health, yeah. I feel like that would be improving, even though I've been on the pill, which was obviously bad for my gut.
Yeah.
But I feel like going off the pill now, at least I've got that stuff in sync. Otherwise, totally. I would be like going out partying and drinking and my old lifestyle and then getting off the pill.
And like, you would moody struggle bitch. A lot. Yeah, and like your liver would be way more sluggish because obviously like your liver's metabolizing medication, and if you were then putting a whole lot more burden on that with alcohol and like processed foods and, you know, like you also are at risk of nutrient depletion on the pill of zinc, Bs, magnesium, folic acid, I think are the main ones. But because you eat so well, then you're kind of less at risk of being nutrient deficient. So you've,
I think, and I eat meat now. You think you're as on a well. Good,
yeah.
So that is what, yeah. like, it's so strange. Like, for breakfast, I literally eat sausages, and I'm like, it's so different. Like,
what is my life?
Yeah, it's so different. So
yeah, but that's also, and but that's the whole thing, right? It's being open minded to what your body needs, and if you feel like you can, like. You know, let the ego aside, whatever your like mind's telling you. If you're like, oh, I actually feel better eating meat, eat meat. Like, oh my you know God, what I mean?
Love it.
You're like working for and with your body.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, right? And you feel good doing it.
Exactly. And I'm excited to be in tune with my body. And then, as you said, like eat meat when I need to and just be aligned with that. I'm super excited. This podcast is getting me more prepared and excited and ready.
It's so fun. And it's also the reason why I get clients that come in and they say they eat the same thing every day. And apart from limiting your nutrient diversity for your gut and nutrient deficiencies, et cetera, I'm like, because as a woman, our hormones are fluctuating, like we shouldn't be eating the same thing every day.
Yeah, I think I was saying in a previous podcast that I grew up with my mum always having salads and, you know, eating small. So then that's how I kind of saw feminine energy, but like after this conversation it's more feminine to be having like curries and rice when we need to, and 100%. Warming soups and not just having cold salads all the time. Well, I kind of touched on at the start that I'm just shocked that it's not in the schooling system. Like I'm gobsmacked. I wanted to get your views on what do you think we should be seeing in schools to help educate young women.
So much. I feel like there's always those memes that are like, thanks school for like never teaching me how to do my tax, but teaching me like Pythagoras theorem.
No, literally. There needs to be one about the menstrual, about this cycle.
Yes. And I think I went to an all-girls school. I don't know if you did or not.
No,
I
co-ed.
Yeah. And so like.
But then they should have definitely.
So even worse for me.
Oh, because you would all be like moody together. And
probably, yeah. and oh, there were just so many things I think they could have touched on. And it probably starts with like the sex education, which is really bad as well. Like they kind
the
of
banana
like,
and the condom.
Yeah. And they like skim over it, but there's like, you know, as you said, they like just like tell you you're going to get pregnant or I honestly don't remember what they taught us. Cause I think it was probably for 40
I just remember Healthy Harold.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what he said, but I just know he was there.
But I mean, I might just have a bad memory. I don't remember learning anything about our cycle.
I don't remember.
Especially at all girls school, I think there should be education around like your period, and people get a sense that like your period is just when you bleed. But it's like, no, you've got this whole like 28-day cycle where there's a whole fluctuation of things happening. Like it's not, you know, coming back to the main event. There's not just there's not like one event that's important. It's like, well, why are you bleeding? And if you're not bleeding, what does it mean? If you're getting pain, what does it mean? If you're getting really, really heavy bleeding, what does it mean? Like, you know what I mean? And there was no discussion about the variation in how you might experience your period and red flags to look out for, or, you know, so many girls growing up with PCOS, endo, like even like hypothalamic amenorrhea where you lose your period. Like there would have been heaps of girls that would have experienced that. We never got taught it.
Yeah.
And I think it would be, it needs to be, it wouldn't, you know, it can't just be like a 40-minute class. It needs to be like embedded into a term, I reckon. And every week, you know, so you get however long a term is, 8 to 10 weeks. And, you know, you look at it properly. And because, as I said, I think like when it comes to your own health and wellness, knowledge is such power. And especially as a woman, to feel empowered, to have that knowledge, to tune into your body, to understand what's happening, it's really powerful. And I think when you can then make decisions based off that is really important to do. And if you learn it from a young age, you know, you can be inquisitive about it. You're in a safe, hopefully, like school feels like a safe environment to ask questions and like learn more. So I think it would be like a massive like turn if they did that, and not just all girls, like co-ed as well.
It also bonds the girls together 100%. Because it's no matter if you're the cool girl or whatever it is, you all have going through the different 100%. Cycles and all that comes with it.
Yeah.
So I definitely think it needs to be in school. I feel like you should create like a little curriculum.
About it, but I'm
to
like,
take.
I hate public speaking.
No, but you could do a little digital one or something like that.
I think
you're so well equipped on this topic.
I know. I would like love to. And I think, I don't know how old you were when you got your period, but I remember when I first got
period, really young.
Like, I started crying.
I didn't tell my mom.
I was like, oh no, I was like, mom. And I was like, I was meant to go to my friend's sleepover. I remember it was her birthday and I was like, no, I can't go. Like, I was like in tears. Like, I was like, what? Like, you know what I mean? I obviously, and I don't know. I don't remember if I was like scared or like upset or, but it should be, you know, if it was spoken about more, I'd be like, oh.
Exactly. Okay.
Like I know that this is actually happening in my body, not like what's coming out of me. Like I don't know what's going on. It's like, oh, my hormones are doing this and this is like a normal thing. And
yeah, exactly. And almost needs to be like primary school because I got mine and I was in year 12. I mean year 6, like I was 12. And I remember like it was no one spoke about it. I was like, what is this? I put toilet paper down there, never told anyone, never told my mom. Like just put toilet paper there for like a long time until I was ready to tell her.
Yeah.
But no one, like, obviously I'd known a bit about it, but I was just embarrassed. And I feel like as well, I developed quite young, so I got boobs quite early.
Yeah.
I was already embarrassed about that, which is another thing. And I was a dancer. I stopped dancing because I didn't want to wear, like, a pad, like, with my leotard.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's definitely something that needs to be more prevalent in schools.
I don't know why it isn't.
I do believe there is going to
be.
Watch this space.
I'll do it.
I think Sarah Cooper is our woman. And I think there will be a big change because I read recently that Spain's introduced menstrual leave, which is really exciting to see, you know, corporations who understand that we are lower energy when we are this part of our cycle, and for it to be acknowledged, this is a massive step.
Yeah.
Hopefully, like, you know, if you want kids, if we have kids, that they will have this.
I think it's funny because, well, not funny, but the whole thing with the leave is you also shouldn't, unless, and I do, like, it's very common for girls to really struggle with periods if they've got endo and hormonal issues, but if you've got a regular cycle and your hormones are at a good level, you also shouldn't be debilitated during your cycle, right? Like that's also like a red flag to investigate a deeper issue. So I think the menstrual leave is great, but it shouldn't be implying that everyone should be bedridden when they've got their period. You know what I mean?
But maybe an extra hour of sleep in the morning or something like that, and giving that flexibility to your staff.
100%.
They'll work harder for you because they feel seen.
And that's what I mean, the whole working with your body. If they get, you know, a 2 hour later start time, you know, if you like had a longer sleep, got some sunshine, got to work from the comfort of your own home in your pajamas. Like so much better. And I think that's a really good step forward, as you said. And hopefully it kind of like starts a bit of a domino effect or other countries can kind of lead off there.
So I feel like that we've kind of touched on it a little bit, but I always ask my guests the same last question. What advice would you give your younger self?
I think like growing up as someone who was very much like a people pleaser and struggling to say no, which I still do, but when I look back, I'm like, I've definitely improved. But having the confidence, self-awareness, self-respect to be able to say no to things because they're better for me, even if it maybe means that you're not always benefiting other people. So I think kind of having that awareness and being able to be confident in saying, you know what, like I actually need to take time or do certain things to fill up my own cup before I can give to others. Otherwise, if you're kind of running on empty, not only can you not give to yourself, but you also can't be the best version of you for, you know, others in the sense of who you're working for, your friends, your family, your relationships, like all of those things. So I think that's probably something I've definitely learned, especially I think us being similar, like working for yourself, go, 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 always wanting to like do great things, which is so good, but you need that moment to kind of rejuvenate and refill your cup before you can keep going.
In your luteal phase.
Oh, there it is.
I definitely resonate with that. I am self-proclaimed people pleaser. I'm working on
it.
It's
hard.
The power of no is just so important. So I think that's a great way to end the episode. So
that
with
was so
that,
good.
You are literally shining. Thank you so much.
I hope you learned some helpful.
Oh, my God. Like, I feel like things. I'm going to just change my entire life routine now that I've gotten into this. So if you don't already, make sure you follow Sarah on Instagram. Her Instagram is Scoop It Up. She offers consults, teaches Pilates classes, and also sells an ebook which has the best cookies. And is it the caramel slice? My God, that is so good. So make sure you check it out. And of course, just a little reminder, I would love if you follow or subscribe to Self Dom. And if you want to stay up to date for events and any upcoming information, make sure you follow Self Dom on Instagram and my personal account, Dominica Lisa. I'll see you on the next episode.